nose up. Feel free to be interrupted. Trying to get the show started to make sure everybody is settled in. Get yourself cozy. If you're still on quarantine, then that means you got your pajamas on and all that good stuff. Listen, you can cast your Facebook videos to your TV if you have a smart TV. Put us on the big screen so you could see us, okay? I'm excited about this show mainly because we have had so many difficulties getting in here today. So obviously, we are about to have a good show.
Something needs to be said.
Yeah, something needs to be said. And another thing that I'm excited about is the fact that we're going to be talking about mammograms today.
Breast health,
yes, breast health.
So, guys, if you're out there, don't go anywhere. You have wives, you have boos, you have daughters, aunts, and stuff like that. And I'm going to talk about ways to make to bring to them that these are things that you need to do so that you feel comfortable.
Yes. Because I told, like on the last show, I said, did I say it on the show? I don't know. I'm not sure. But I was talking about how I haven't had one yet.
No, that was after the show.
That was after the show.
Yeah.
Called after the show. But I have not had one yet. I need to get one. I'm just going to be real with you. I need to go get one. I need to go ahead and face the fear. My mom went and had hers. And, well, my mom is she's a soldier. She's going to go ahead and get it done. She's going to look at us like we're crazy. And she's just going to go get it done. All right? So let's just get into this show because I like to ramble on. Go ahead, Rita, introduce yourself, even though I just told everybody your name anyway.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the show. My name is Rita Nelson, and I hope you all enjoyed the show today. Amen.
I am Keisha Robertson. My aunt always corrects me instead of Roberson.
I know, I'm in trouble.
Okay. Just have some really good information for you today. Thank everyone who's on my live and who's out there looking. You're going to get some jewels today. Mm-hmm. Some jewels today. This is a show for everybody. So enjoy.
So enjoy. Okay, so I want to start this show off.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm Queenie. What's up, y'all? This is Queenie. Crazy Queenie. That's what I'm going to call myself today. You know, I put the red hair on today, and baby, I promise it's just been chaotic with Cherry today. Cherry just got me going, listen. So it's a couple of things. Let's go ahead and buzz Tammy in. What's going on, baby? What's happening, Tammy? We miss you.
Hello.
Can you hear?
How are y'all doing? I miss y'all, too.
Okay. I was like, oh, Lord, she can't hear us. Jesus be offended. But, yeah, we miss you, girl. We miss you. What's going on in your life?
Nothing much. Just living that country life. You know, I'm down here in the rural area. I'm in Hempstead, Texas. So just work, doing the thing, you know, promote the book, building a business, trying to build an empire, you know, plotting and planning and strategizing for my people.
I like how you said building an empire, girl.
Okay.
I want to be like you when I grow up. Listen. All right, love, Jones. What's going on, baby? I see you on the app. Talk to us.
Good morning, everyone. I hate that I couldn't come in today. So much on the plate today, but I'm still here on to talk about it. So, good morning, all the beautiful ladies.
Good morning. Ooh, what you been up to? What's happening? I know that you got your rehearsals and stuff going on, and shooting. Fill us in. What's going down?
Yes, I'm so excited because today is the first day of recording my play, Broken But Healing. So, yeah, I'll be looking for it soon. I also created a YouTube channel. So, go and subscribe and follow me. And y'all going to be in for a treat.
All right. Well, we sure look forward to it. All right. I want to start off with some questions. Okay. First question. All right, quarantine is almost dissolved. Let's just be real about it, you know.
Right.
Some people are still in quarantine. It's up in New York and places like that. But Texas really kind of didn't get deep into quarantine, cold-blooded like New York and places like that. But while we were in the house, I want to know what y'all did. What did you do to pass the time? What did you do to keep from going stir crazy? Fill us in. Rita, we'll start with you. Because we know Rita created this thing. I was jealous.
Well, a lot of time on your hands, kind of, you're used to going. I started working on my website. I started strategizing, looking for marketing techniques. And I started painting and
good Lord.
And like I said, I've been working on my working on my editing with my photography, and as well as, like I said, more marketing strategies for my business, as well as I was working on other design, because I have two businesses. I do photography and I have a t-shirt business. So I was also working on designs for my t-shirt business, as well as continually building that website as well. And I think it just came a little, put a halt to everything, because like I had started putting more full time into my business, and then that's when everything just kind of put a halt. So I was a little discouraged, but I had to stay prayerful and I had to keep motivation going. So in the meantime, like I said, I was writing, because I write as well. I'm writing and reading books and cooking more than the usual that I wasn't planning on doing. I know they got this thing talking about cooking every day is ghetto, but yeah. But because trying to have a meal every day, it was just like, oh my gosh, because you know you're used to working and you just kind of make it do what it do when you're working, but being at home every day, being in quarantine, like you can't go eat out. So I was like, oh my. So yeah, meal prepping and
I heard a lot of meal prepping. A lot of people were doing meal prep.
Yeah, I think it became more easy versus if you cook everything, kind of meal prep every day, you wouldn't have to cook every day.
Right.
You actually just kind of cook a big, large meal and then meal prep. But that's different when you have several people in the house.
Jesus.
Not on the same page.
Four bowls a day. That's five bowls, yeah.
Like, you got one bowl of that. Don't touch my bowl.
Don't touch nothing else.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, that's what I could think of off the top of my head. I probably was doing more stuff, but just to think off the top of my head, my main goal, because God, you know, he put it in my spirit as to, okay, I gave you time. Because at first, God, I don't have time. I'm working. I'm going. He's like, you have all the time in the world now.
Now what?
What you going to do? You have no excuse. He's like, so get on this. Yeah. So I was in him. I have a thing with working at night because to me it's more peaceful and calm. So he's like, okay, what's your excuse now? So I had to get up and build and start making it do what it do at the time. So, and I'm still working on it as well. So, you know.
Okay, all right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I said that 2020 must be the last year, like 19 to, has been my sit-down time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was laid off with all this education and degrees. I have, couldn't find a job or whatever. Finally started working. Things going wonderful. Then this quarantine. So God said, I ain't through with you yet, or whatever. Sit on down some more and whatever. So I've been cooking like crazy. I can cook now. But I'm not a baker.
Yes, you can cook.
I don't bake, though. So I've been baking cookies and cobblers, and so that's something else. And I'm like, oh, I can do this, too. I am actually writing a book. I like urban fiction because I have a drama-less life.
Mm-hmm.
So when I want drama, I go to one of my favorite authors and get me some real good urban drama.
Uh-oh.
So I'm writing a book. And with myself and Sultry, me, Sultry, Love Jones, and Critical are actually doing something a little different with writing.
Okay, okay.
So I've been writing and just really spending time with, you know, my family and just things like that. So, you know,
that's
so like
have
my daughter
you found
mother.
That it brought you closer with the family?
We're close anyway, you know, whatever. I mean, like. Me, my mom, and my daughter, we're like the Three Musketeers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're close anyway. But just really having to be there. My mom, about 6 months ago, had a double lung transplant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of things that she, you know, couldn't do before, she kind of needs help with it. She's always been this very strong, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for her to ask. So I'm now to be able to look to see, girl, what you doing? Let me help you with that, or whatever. Mama, ask for help.
That's good.
You know, so I'm really glad for that. So, you know, even though it's bad, it's been good because it just allowed me more time.
Awesome. All right, Love Jones, tell us what's going on. What do you do during quarantine that was different from, you know, any other day when, you know, just ever? What did you do to keep yourself together or whatever?
Well, I found myself, and I know this probably sounds strange, guys, ladies, but working on the play, I was following my own steps of how I thought it was supposed to be going, and God stopped me. He set me down. He said, that's not what I want you to do. He said, I'm going to show you what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a platform to do it. And I decided to start doing a podcast and talking to everybody about real life issues and things, and that's pretty much been going pretty good, besides all the technical difficulties I've had in being the first time doing this. I also learned to follow his steps and not mine, because that's what I was doing. And by him ordering my steps, and I'm finally learning that follow his steps and not my steps. Because, see, I thought what I was doing was what I was supposed to do, but he showed me, no, this is what you're supposed to do. So by me following his steps, everything is just gliding. Everybody that I need for the play or need for anything is just coming. And he says, that's the person. And I ask him, like, yeah, sure. So that's basically what I've been doing is in the quarantine, as well as what Keisha said. I decided that I wanted to write. Y'all know I write. I write about a lot of stuff. I have so much that I've written. But I just woke up one day and I said, you know what? I think that I want to write another book, but I want it to be more than just me. And at first I wanted each woman to write a different chapter, but that's not how it began. So what I did is I wrote as much as I could until I said stop. And then Keisha came along and she wrote from what I started. So it's like I added characters, and she had to keep my characters, but she had to also add her characters. And then Critical came behind her and added on to Keisha's kept her characters, but also introduced new characters. So it's going pretty good. I think it's going to be amazing once we finish it. You know, it's just a journey that I just never I never saw y'all, and I'm just excited. Y'all have no idea. I'm so excited about so many different avenues that I have in that I never thought I would go down that way, and I'm grateful and thankful that I'm going that way. So quarantine has helped me be a better me.
Okay. Girl, I got lost in everything you said. I was like, ooh. But, you know, the quarantine has blessed a lot of people and have reordered their steps. Because a lot of
yes,
times
ma'am.
You are really on the, you are really doing it. Because
and
one of my mentors, he'll call me, and he'll say, what are you doing? And I'll say, no, he said, what have you been doing? I haven't heard from you. And I'll say, oh, I've been busy. He come out, yeah, busy doing what? Oh, he make me so mad when he do that, because he said sometimes you're so busy till that it's not a part of your destiny. It's not a part of you, just busy. And it is a habit we could pick up. And I do think this quarantine has caused a lot of people to just sit back and say, okay, let me reevaluate all the stuff
my,
I'm doing.
My life.
This got to go. This can stay. Is this producing? No, it's not. Get rid of it. That's kind of what I've been doing. You know, because I first started with everything, I had websites, because I was learning to build them. Then I had Facebook pages everywhere because I was learning the ins and outs of Facebook. And I looked up one day and I had 50 billion pages, and I was just trying to figure out how it happened. But it gave me time during quarantine to keep something, get rid of something. And I'm still filtering through a lot of stuff now. You know,
amen.
Great podcast. We developed at least 3 new podcasts for My Gospel Soul, and got some enthusiastic people that I wouldn't think would be into, you know, being on video and doing different things with the magazine and everything like that. So God has really increased us as far as our reach, you know, because people have had to go on Facebook and have had to really learn social media.
Yeah.
It's given me an opportunity to some of my elders kind of break through that little I'm not with, you know, I'm old too, I don't need to do all that. And so it brought them into this age, okay, it advanced them. So, you know, God used me during this time to kind of help motivate them and get them into what they need to do to walk into a new place, you know. Sometimes people feel like they're just too old. This is the end of the road. Be girl, you go out there and do it. But we find out in this day and time, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can start right now. Yeah.
Right, your willingness to do and learn.
Yeah. So just, it's been a time, too, where me and my husband are all together all the time. So, like you say, we, you know, we just everywhere. So that bond is stronger. But I mostly just spent some time on hobbies. I think I learned to crochet. Don't hold me on that, because you think you got it, then you watch a YouTube video and be like, ah, that wasn't right. Okay, so I'm just trying to pick up some new stuff, you know, and I'm still picking up new stuff. You get what I'm saying? I think this quarantine activated a lot in people and motivated them to do much more than what they felt like they are able to do. Okay, Miss Lily, what you do? What do you think you started to do during this quarantine? You know, something new.
It's actually, I was kind of starting in the direction of kind of organizing some things in my life and putting some time frames on some things. And I have a collection of notebooks for each thing. It's allowed me to reach a broader audience, like you said, with my book and so forth, because people are more on social media now than anything. But I think people are doing some productive stuff on social media, so it allows me to reach out to those people that's trying to have some productive in their life. I did my e-book, that I'm promoting, which is basically my marketing tool for my business and to solidify my business further and to help promote my actual manuscript with my book that I'm working on, my paid book. So I've sat down and I watched videos, I watched different people's strategies and how they solidify their business and basically take those things and customize them and make them for my own. I'm not a type of person that I would just, you know, blindly be led by somebody. I will take some things out of some things that they're doing, and I pray about everything, and I pray about them, and I make them customize them for my own. So, and this time just kind of put some perspective in things far as biblically wise. My husband shortly before, my pastor husband, shortly before the quarantine and the pandemic and so forth came about, he spoke about Revelations. That was one of the books that we read about. And so some things that I see within that, I see things around me. So it definitely put a new perspective on things with this quarantine thing when I start seeing the different pandemics and different things that are happening. It definitely allows you to have a whole lot of time because people just go, and they don't assign their time. They just go. Now it makes you assign your time. It slows you down. And I think it was good. It allowed the earth to rest because people was at home and they wasn't no longer abusing the earth and the air and so forth like they were. So I just think this quarantine was a blessing. Yes, I know a lot of people did not make it to the other side with us. And hey, you know, that's life. You know, I learned about death, years ago, with losing a mother at a young age. So it's a lot, and I think this was good for us. I think it's something that needed to be done, and I just trust God in it.
Well, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. All right, so quarantine, sounds like everybody just came through quarantine with a new, what that sounds like, I got a new attitude.
Okay.
We came out of it new, refreshed, and pumped and ready for this next part of our lives, right? Okay, so let's go into, I want Keisha to talk a little bit. That's why she don't know, so I put her in this middle chair.
Oh, I'm in the hot seat, right?
Yeah, she's in the hot seat. Because we want to go into talking about women's health. It's important that we take care of ourselves.
Yes.
Let me tell you, we get so caught up taking care of everybody else that we forget to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it just means a little thing.
Little things.
We're going to start with a big thing today. Okay? We're going to talk about mammograms. Okay? First of all, I'm going to just shut up because I need to be motivated. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. So women's breast health. Breast cancer runs in my family. And so it's something that I think I had my first mammogram when I was 27 because of the family history. And I just, you know, I have an issue with being afraid of something that I, you know, you don't even know what you're being afraid of. Why are you afraid when you really don't even know what it is that you should be afraid of? So when I was 27, I thought I felt something, you know, whatever, and I went. It was nothing. But from then on to now, I have friends who are in their 40s who have never had the first mammogram, and that is alarming to me. That scares me more than the looking over here to my left. And that scares me more than anything because especially if you have family history, you know, the insurance companies or whoever they are, you know, have you to start recommending to have these different tests and things done at certain ages. But you can't say, oh, well, I'm 35. I feel this, but I'm not 40 yet, so I'm not going to go and get it checked out. Cancer does not wait for you to turn 40. Okay. I know people in their early 30s. One young lady that I met, she was about 27, you know, with a cancer diagnosis. There are probably people who are younger. A few years ago, I have not done anything with them recently. I know that they're going through a trans
you know, a transformation with the retiring of Ms. Catherine Jackson over at Sisters Network. That is the only Black breast surgery organization that exists, and they're in many states. So headquarters here. So, and it was important to me for my daughter to understand, you know, especially in our community, you know, you don't talk about breasts. Your daughters, you know, our daughters, just let's face it, don't come up to us saying, you know, well, Mom, did you get a mammogram, or, you know, what's, you know, just whatever. So one thing that the Sisters Network did was they created this group within themselves called Teens for Pink. So these were girls from 12 to 17 that they got together, had real breast talks with, and things like that, so that these daughters, and the mothers were there, so these daughters were, you know, empowered to say, Mom, have you had your mammogram done? Now, they don't know when it's supposed to be done, really, or, you know, anything like that, but it made them comfortable with talking about breasts, and that's always a really good thing. Jessica was 12 or 13, and she felt it was after the, you know, the Teen for Pink orientation and everything that she had done. She felt a lump, and it was truly something there, and I took her and they did an ultrasound, you know, whatever, it was fine, but it's just, we have to have these talks. We have to talk to our daughters. We have to talk to our nieces. We have to talk to our nephews, you know, whoever it may be, to let them know that it's okay to ask the question, you know. So, mammograms. If you are listening to me, if you have a friend, if you know a friend of a friend, heard of somebody that is 40 years old and have not had a mammogram, I need you to get them by the hand, sit them down on the telephone next to you to call, if they need to call the insurance company, whoever it is, and schedule a mammogram. Go see your primary doctor, your OB-GYN doctor. Get your order for a mammogram. Okay, that's the first thing or whatever. I'll go with you. I'm laid off. I have nothing to do. And if you truly are afraid and you need somebody to go, I'll go with you. I've done it before with total strangers that were just scared. I mean, if you have questions about it, inbox me. I can tell you everything. I mean, I've been regular mammogram, ultrasound, biopsied, you name it, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the mammograms. And another thing I want you to know is, so some people are really attached to their breasts. Oh, their breasts. I've had them all my life. You have given many black eyes to boys in school in regards to my breasts. Okay, elementary school. So I'm not that attached to mine or whatever like that. And if these things are trying to kill me, they can go. And I mean, I really feel like that. And with that being said, every time I go to get a mammogram, I get, you know, I know I shouldn't be anxious, but I get anxious. I get, because it's always something. And even though I've been BRAC tested, they do this preliminary, I'll call it preliminary, genealogy test, a DNA test called a BRAC analysis, and what it does is they've identified cancer markers, you know, what the DNA of the cancer strains or whatever look like. So they give you this test, and they don't even have to stick you now. I think I did mouthwash or the cheek swab or whatever, but they do this BRAC test, BRAC analysis test, to say genetically, you know, if you have the markers. I had no markers, but with all of the stuff in the environment and that we're eating and stuff like that, and then if you are African American, if you are overweight, you put yourself in a whole nother risk category. So you know, that's something else that you need to know. And the Sisters Network is a really good source of information.
Yeah.
You can go to their website and you can, you know, take a look to see what's out there.
What's the link to it?
It's sistersnetwork.org, I believe. Oh. It is .org, yes. But there is a wealth of information over there. And if it's any questions you have, you can call them. If they don't have the answer for you, they have resources.
Okay.
that they can issue out to you for you to go and get looked at. The rose, if you're out there and you don't have insurance and you can't, yes, the rose is really good. They will do mammograms for you. I believe you have to have an order or if, you know, pay some kind of minimal fee to get one. I started on this journey, you know, dealing with that. I was underinsured and, you know, all of this stuff or whatever. And if you are underinsured, they have resources with doctors that will adopt a patient for a year at no cost. So I don't know what, you know, what the weight is or whatever, but the rose is a good resource. If you don't have insurance, they can help you. There are a lot of organizations that donate to them.
Okay.
But so this is what I've opted to do. Because I am sick and tired of every time I go to get a mammogram, I have to get a biopsy. Talk to somebody on the phone this morning, have to have a biopsy on both sides. They want $4,000 for me.
My Lord.
Yeah, $4,000 for me to have, you know, but it's something that possibly needs to be done. What I've opted is to have a double mastectomy with the reconstruction. I've opted to do that. So what'll happen, one of my church members did it, but she was actually diagnosed with cancer less than stage one. But, you know, it's something that, you know, I have all this nice belly fat, and what they do is they give you a tummy tuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to call it. They take the fat from your stomach, and at the same time, they remove the breast, and then you go in with breast, you come out with breast.
That's an amazing thing. That
could, but you know what? It's just a lot. And then we did a risk analysis. My doctor did. Dr. Boniface is a wonderful doctor. I love her. She's one of the top breast specialists. Most of her patients are cancer patients.
Uh-huh.
I don't have cancer, but I heard about her. Mm-hmm. And I went to see her and like her. I love this lady. You know, and she loves me too because she's just really straight up, and I love straight up. She was like, a lot of African American women only see her when they've been diagnosed.
Wow.
I was young when I went to see her the first time without cancer, and I come in. You know, so whenever the results can go to my gynecologist or primary doctor of the mammogram, but I'm going to get them sent over to her so that she can look at them compared, and we're going to have a conversation.
Now, Rita, you want to say something. Come on.
Yes. Well, I have a question first.
Okay.
Why would you do the mastectomy if you hadn't been diagnosed with cancer?
Because I did a risk analysis I don't know how I would do with a breast cancer diagnosis. Okay. And because of whenever you get a biopsy done, they put a metal clip inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like I'm harboring a metal clip graveyard. It's a bunch of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
So how many more holes am I going to get drilled in my breast? You know, when they do the biopsy, I had a needle done one time, but they take this machine and they actually put a hole in there, and they go down in there. They put
You're tired of it.
I'm just tired of it. And then I had this risk analysis done.
Uh-huh.
And so it's four areas that they look at. Two of the areas, one said the probability, I don't know if it was 5 years or 7 years. One said 46.3, and the other one said 56 point something. So I feel like it's just crap. You know what I'm saying? A roll of the dice every time. I can't deal with that.
My God.
You know what I'm saying or whatever.
Okay.
So I feel like it's a medically necessary thing.
Lady, you want to weigh in? Go ahead, Rita.
This particular subject is very touchy to me because my aunt that passed a year ago, she was diagnosed with, and I'm sure she'll be in her memory, she will be okay for me to talk about making things aware, breast cancer awareness.
Okay.
She was diagnosed at 43.
Okay.
And she I walked through her whole process from beginning to the end. It was 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And so she did all the chemo and all of that good stuff, and then she had to have a mastectomy, and she did the reconstruction it was extreme. That's why I'm asking, because, like I said, talking about it brings me back walking through her. Like, I literally walked through her the whole process.
Yeah.
From when I found out, which was like maybe a couple of months after she had been diagnosed,
yeah,
to the very end of her passing last year in April. And like I said, it's a really touchy subject to me. And like I said, the earlier the better. Like she said, she was 43. She passed at 48. And I was just kind of concerned with, like I said, the process of her with the mastectomy and all of that. But she had, hers was very relevant because yeah, she had it on one side, her right side, but it spread to lymph nodes and all of that. By the time they found it, she was in stage 4. So they didn't even expect her to make it 6 years. So she was in stage 4 and it had spread into her lymph nodes. And so they removed the majority of her lymph nodes. And then eventually, after like a year or so of chemo, she had to do a mastectomy, and then she had to do, I think she had to wait a year to get the reconstruction.
Wow.
Because you have to wait, you have to do the radiation, you have to wait to the skin healing and all of that process. So definitely, if you can, the earlier the better. My only issue is, for me, because I am under the age of 40, insurance won't cover it. And
if you have a family history, insurance will cover it. They will cover it. Because I've never been told no. And I had my first one at 27.
I've asked. Because this particular aunt was an aunt by marriage. But I do my mom's. I have another aunt, my mom's sister, that passed away last year. But she had been a survivor for quite some time.
I'll talk to you off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because we're going to do it after the show.
Yeah.
Love Jones, you want to say anything about it?
Well, I have had a few mammograms in my life. When I first started, I was 40 years old, and everything was good. I have never had them tell me that anything is wrong. And when Keisha had told me about the group that was helping do annual checkups, I went. And the only thing about that is that I don't know if something happened and I don't know if I didn't do something right or I didn't write something right, but my doctor never received my results, and that's a concern for me. No one in my family has had breast cancer. My mom has had breast cancer scare, but they realized that it wasn't. So that was last year, right, Keisha?
I think that was last year.
Yeah, so it's up, you know, my year up, so I need to go and get another one. But as Keisha was saying, the problem with this, no insurance. I work, but I only work part-time, so they don't cover us as far as insurance. So I'm trying to see what I need to do now to get another one done to make sure that I'm good, because that's a scare for me. I have a lot of pains and stuff sometimes in my breast, and I just automatically think, oh, my God, you know. So I'm just automatically thinking that, oh, my goodness, I must have breast cancer because I get these aches of pain or whatever. But every time I go, it's never anything, and I thank God for that. But I do know that it's very important. I talked to my daughter. I talked to my nieces, and now I have to talk to my son because I never knew that men could get breast cancer. And so now I had to speak with my son about that, and he's 28, so it's like he's looking at me like, okay, Mom. So
right.
I try to just keep talking to him about it and keep talking about it. Even though no one in my family has died from breast cancer, I had an uncle, my mom's brother, who died from prostate cancer. So that's a concern for my son and my brother and the males, you know, in my family. But as of right now, by the grace of God, I am blessed that there's nothing wrong with me. But I tell all the ladies and young men, please, this is something that's important. Do it. I know it's scary, you know, but you'd rather them catch it than it be too late and be saying, I wish I would have just went, you know. Just go and see. You know, just go and see. It's what I tell everyone. Just go and see. And then you can deal with that afterward. You have so many people that will support you and be there for you, and, you know, when you need them. I just need you to first go. You have to make the first step and go. So it's very important. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear us on the air, trust me, it's very important to know way beforehand. Because I know we as Black America, we are afraid, and we shouldn't be.
We shouldn't be. That's right.
Okay. One of my friends that's on the live made a good point. I used to work in the medical, and she does as well. She brought up a good topic, and it actually happened to me. Some insurance companies won't pay for any other services but a mammogram. So, and the last insurance that I had was that way. I had the mammogram, but they didn't pay for biopsy or whatever. So, what do you do in that case? You would fall into the and there may be other things, but I do know about this. You will fall into the underinsured category.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact the Rose, let them know what's going on, and see what resources they have to help you. And if they can't, they may have somewhere else to turn you to be able to help. But if you get a diagnosis that you need to have a biopsy, what you need to do is be trying to figure out how to do it. You know, whatever, it's not going to go away. The fact that you need a biopsy or something, you know, is going on that they want to look at. And the sooner you are able to do it, the better. My friend said her mom is a breast cancer survivor with a radical mastectomy. So, you know, these are things that are going on. And like, you know, and I guess with different people, it's different ways, because my church member, she had them both done at the same time. She said her surgery was like 14 hours, you know, and they did they did everything, you know, right there. So, but the first step is getting there. Get you a friend, get you a buddy, and y'all make it a day. Pink it up. Put your pink tutus on and your pink lipstick and just, you know, whatever. Make it a day so it won't be so, oh, I gotta go have this mammogram. Get you somebody. Inbox me. I'll go with you. I will. I'm gonna go with Queenie if she don't hurry up.
Oh, you going with me? We're gonna video this. We're videoing this for the show.
Can't be scared.
I've been waiting for a group of ladies that don't care about me. I'm just gonna be real.
Amen.
The hood, baby.
Okay.
The hood for real.
Yes.
This is such a thick topic. So we're gonna put a pin in it, and we're gonna on the next show, because I'm gonna go and talk to my doctor, get all this set up, because they've been they're telling me a bunch of stuff.
One of my friends on Facebook gave me some information too. She said you can apply for Medicaid for breast and cervical cancer.
That's what I'm gonna do.
So if you're underinsured or something like that, that may be a thing too. Apply for Medicaid for breast and cervical cancer. That's what she said. My friend Dion. See, you start talking to whatever people bring stuff up, because different people know. She say she did. My friend say she did it. So there are resources out there. If things need to be done, if you know it's something like this $4,000 that they told me I had to pay when I'm unemployed. And everything like that, or whatever, it's something that has to happen, so it's going to happen. So
I actually know somebody. She also walked with my aunt through the process.
Mm-hmm.
She's I think 28 year, I know it's 20-something, almost a 30-year survivor. And she was diagnosed in her 20s.
See?
And
mm-hmm.
she's now, like, in her 50s.
Okay.
And so she also does advocate. She do give seminars,
because
she also worked for Harris County Health.
Okay.
And she will actually give you all the pamphlets. She will actually come and do a seminar with women, talk
can
about
the
breast
cancer. Can we get on the show?
Yeah, I can contact her.
Good, yeah.
Because she'll actually, that's what she actually does for her job. And even before my aunt was diagnosed, she would invite her to all the meetings or whatever, because she was a church member. And so she would go through with her to her different, because they have different organizations, they have different galas and all of those different programs and stuff. And she would just go to it just for support. And then eventually she was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And she had basically diagnosed herself doing the herself mammograms. And and of course you feel the lump, you take it to the doctor. And she had skipped her mammogram for 1 year. She didn't go that last year, and the next year she was diagnosed.
Wow.
And so and by this time, like I said, it was at stage four. And normally when you're at stage four, they don't really expect you to make it. But God blessed her. It was 6 years after, and, you know, the whole 6 years she was fighting. But
well, see, Josh, and then you have to be another, and I'm going to say this last thing. You have to be your own advocate, okay?
Yeah.
And actually, I just had breast surgery last June.
Oh, wow.
And here we are again, you know, like in April or whatever they wanted. It's just too much.
Yeah.
Even if you have a mammogram and you feel you do your exams and you feel something, please listen to this. You feel something 2 months later and you just had a mammogram, go and have a mammogram. They're going to say, oh, the insurance don't pay for it. Do you want to have a mammogram and have to pay for your mammogram, you end up having to pay for it? Or do you want that to be your, or whatever, your death sentence? I have a friend that had a mammogram. 2 months later, she felt this little knot. Since she felt it about the size of a pea. About a month after that, it felt a little bit bigger. But she had just had a mammogram. She went and they told her, well, you just, the insurance is not going to pay for it. She was telling me, girl, look, and I was working then. I'll help you pay for that mammogram. Go and have you get a diagnostic mammogram, you know, and go ahead and go, whatever it is. If you need, you know, whatever, because I felt like it was important. Then she, you know, looking at me, okay. She went back. She had the most aggressive form of cancer that there was right after her mammogram. So just because you just had a mammogram does not set you free from not, you know, so you have to know your body. And don't let those people tell you no. The insurance company's job is to not pay.
Wow.
They'll pay the least amount they can. Trust me, I worked in finance for one, and when they have people who are costing them a lot of money, they're on the spotlight. Be your own advocate. You have to be your own advocate. And don't take no for an answer. So, okay.
Okay, so I got me a bunch of people going with me. You know, we're just going to go ahead and get it done. Now, moving on to another topic, because y'all know we're going to come back to this right after my mammogram. We're going to come up and we're going to talk about it again. We're going to hear my results live and in living color. You know, I'm kind of like Keisha, you know, find something. You know, I ain't got to hold on to them. I don't cut them off. I'd rather be here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when they
got
can,
all kinds
and
of
I, and I got,
yeah,
and I got this little problem anyway.
it ain't worth
hours. They had complications. I had to go back in. They cut it from one side to the other side. And they, you know, took out fat. And then, but then it started clotting. And it was supposed to be 16 hours, I think 14 hours or so, and it ran over time because it ran into complications.
Wow.
And then her blood wasn't building back up, and so they were trying to figure out why.
Oh.
And they found it was what they sewed, it was clotting.
Wow.
And so they had to go back and open up. And
oh.
then it was just a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And then the follow-ups after all of that, because then she had no more feeling in her breast.
You're not going to have
You ain't going to have no feeling. Well, I don't think she ever gained any feelings back
and
on
and
that
you
side.
Might not.
And so, yeah, it's just a life-changing event.
It is a life-changing event because when I had my first breast surgery over here, I mean, I could literally pinch it with my nails and didn't feel nothing. And even now, you know, if I pinch it like that, I feel a little bit. But if I pinch this side the same way, I'd be ready to fight myself. But on this side, No, I'm serious. But you know,
so I should be ready to fight herself. I the first time I played everything, you know. I am this show today. I always love to come in and just you never know what topic we get attached to. I think that it's very important that we learn how to support one another because that person that, like you say, is so aggressive forms and all kinds of different things. It's a life-changing thing. And as women, we have to understand the power of supporting each other, the power
mm-hmm.
of checking in with one another, the power
yeah.
of you notice that something is going on with a person, but you don't say nothing because you feel like it's not your business. And all of this kind of carrying on. But what you have to understand is we need each other to survive. We need each other to overcome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather you just straight up tell me the truth. Some folk can't handle the truth,
but at
least you said it.
Right.
At least you said it. Say it with love and kindness. I just want to say that. Say it with love and kindness. But we're going to be dropping some information in all of our lives, on Facebook. We'll be dropping some information to make sure that you get to where you need to go to get the information that you need.
That you need.
And to take care of yourself, you know. We love to go get our hair done, our nails done, our feet done, our shopping.
Right.
We love to adorn ourselves. But let me tell you something. We got to go take care of that inward part, that what's going on the inside. I'm very good with it, but this cancer, this test is one that I have avoided. So I'm ready.
I will not allow her to avoid it anymore.
And I believe her.
Yes.
And you should.
And look, I'm tagging right on along. I'm going with
you. I got a special outfit planned just for her. I am going to put on my camouflage green along with my pink jacket.
Oh, I got a
and my warrior. Okay.
I'm going to find me some.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior, yeah. So.
Listen, and I'm going to be like, Keisha, cover me. I'm going in.
Okay.
And that's how it's going to go. So, let's see how many minutes we got left in the show. We definitely want to, again, 2 minutes. Okay. All right. So, once again, Keisha, drop the information once more and again for, I think, the Rose.
The Rose and
Sisters Network.
The Sisters Network.
Network.
Yeah, Sisters Network, Inc., or whatever. They are a wealth of information. The ladies are always nice, and you can call or just go to the website.
All right. Come on, Love Jones, sign out for us.
I enjoyed the show, as always, ladies. I hate that I was able to make it there, but I'll be there next week. And until then, peace and blessings. This is Show Tree Love Jones, y'all.
Rita?
Yes, I have enjoyed the show. And thank you all for joining. Like you said, it's very important. It's extremely important to make sure, as women, that we take care of our health. That's why we call Sisters United, to make sure we're united and one, to make sure we support one another in all areas of life. So I am Rita Nelson. Hope you join us in on next week.
Okay, Keisha Robinson, sisters, I just want y'all to know y'all are my business. Okay, or whatever. I don't have boundaries when it comes to my business. So y'all are my business, and I'm going to see about everybody, you know, whatever. So y'all just see about me. This is Keisha Robinson. Signing off for Sisters United every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Don't meet me here, beat me here.
Oh, and this is Queenie. Y'all know, I don't have much to say. I run my mouth through the show. You know, we want you to make sure that you check us out on YouTube, check us out on Instagram, check us out on Twitter, check out our website, which is still under construction and coming soon. Go to our Facebook group, Sisters United. Go to our Facebook page, Sisters United.
Talk show.
Yeah. I got it all in. We want you to know that without faith it's impossible to please God, but with God all things are possible. Who cares? God cares.